Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Gimel, and we're holding at the bottom of daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and let me bring you up to date. So, we're in the middle of a fascinating sugya, in which a Uber, once again, starting with the same situation that we started with at the beginning of the Perek, Benogia, the determination of Treifus, which is that if a leg or some part of a fetus is not in the womb, then that part is actually trefa. And now the question is, what is the status of the remaining meat? And I say meat advisedly because it's meat, even if it's still alive and walking around all on its own, as we saw. That's called a ben bikua, a fetus whose mother was shechted, and it survives. And it is now considered to be shechted because of the Shechitas Ha'em. Problem is that it was always attached, even though it was a piece of meat that was walking around, it had been attached to that little part that had gone out and that was an actual trefa. So now the question is, what happens to that trefa when it's attached to the uber? And here we had a machlokas. If you cut off that piece, the Mishnah says, so then according to Rabbi Meir, the rest of the meat, and I say once again, meat advisedly, meaning the rest of the fetus, whether alive or dead, but it's been shechted, and therefore it's called meat, is therefore foodstuff, and foodstuff is mekabel tuma. So if the piece that was attached to it is a piece that is tame, and why would it be tame? Well, it would be tame if we consider the piece that was trefa to never have been shechted. Well, why would we consider the piece that's trefa to never have been shechted? Well, that is because of a concept called nipul, which we spoke about briefly yesterday. We're going to be getting into in detail today. So nipul would mean that the act of shechita actually is the final blow to this piece of trefus that was attached, and now it makes it technically disattached. That word nipul is based on the pasuk that we're going to see tomorrow of ki yipul minivlatam. So the idea of an avela, at the last moment, it falls, so to speak, off of the body. So if this was an ava that was attached and the shechita helped for it, so then, okay, it would be a trefa shchuta. A trefa shchuta is not metame anything but bekudjim, and that's gzeira derabanan, but it's not a real tuma. Ashenken, according to Rabbi Meir, this aver is metame like an avela because it's aver menachai. Why is that? Because in the minute that you shechted it, that shechita was the final blow. And now it's as if that piece was taken off of the rest of the animal, and it remains permanently an Eiver Min Achai. And just to remind you, an Eiver Min Achai is metame like an avela as long as it's whole. It has to have basar gidim va'atzamot. So it has to be an actual movable piece that has muscle, it has bone, and it has tendons and nerves. But if it doesn't, then it's not considered to be an aver that is metame. On the other hand, a nevela, of course, an actual nevela, is metame, even if it's just basar min hanevela. So therefore, we have a machlokas in our Mishnah. Does shechita create nipul, or does it not? So according to Rabbi Meir, when you shechted the mother, and that shechita applies to the fetus, the shechita was the final blow that knocked off this hand that was sticking out of the womb, and that made it into a permanent aver min achai, which is, for all intents and purposes, a nevela, as long as it has all of its parts. The Chachamim say, no, shechita does not create nipul. Therefore, the shechita was a valid shechita on the entire fetus, including the trefa part. And the din of a trefa that was shechted is that it is not an avela. Now, it might be metame, mirabanan, and kachim, and so on, but that's a very different story. That was the machlokas that we had in the Mishnah. Now, we continued yesterday to also discuss the problem of, even let's say that it's tame, But how in the world was it metame, the meat? Again, meat doesn't mean it's in a piece of plastic. It might be walking around, but it's still meat. How is it that that piece was metame, the meat to which it's attached, if it was only attached through tissue that was not exposed by definition? And the din is that Beit HaSitarim, which means unexposed areas of the body, are not going to convey tuma. So how in the world did the connection of its skin and bones and flesh and so on, how was that, which was not exposed to the outside, how did that transfer tuma from the hand to the rest of the body, which was a din of meat, that's mekabel tuma? So the approach that we had yesterday was that as things are being separated, the separation is gradual, and there's always that instant in which things are no longer connected, but they're no longer totally separate either, because they're still at that last moment of disattachment. And that last moment is enough to provide a touch, a maga, of an area that is not considered to be Beit HaSitarim. Now, obviously, as Tosus points out, if this were done all at once, let's say you take a meat cleaver and just go pow, so then enochinami, there was no moment at which any part was connected, and it wouldn't be tummy. But we're talking in practical terms, in which case everyone would agree, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, they would all agree, even though they may argue about other issues as to whether that's called Beis HaStorim. In this case, for sure, it would be Metamet. That's how we learned yesterday. Now, today, in the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, we're going to learn another explanation, which is Ravina's explanation. And Ravina said it doesn't need to actually be separated in order for it to be Maga. Why? Because, look, the case that we had yesterday of the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi was a case where you cut off a piece of a blanket. And the actual Machlokas was a case where you had a towel and you split the towel into two. I don't think I made a bracha on this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech v'nom shakon yehiyeh bedvarom. So the original towel was 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim and plus. That's big enough for it to be makabel tumas midras. And therefore, if Azov stepped on this towel or sat on this towel, even though he never came in touch with it, with his, any surface of his body, he was wearing clothes, he was wearing shoes. But midras, you will recall, is an extremely chamur tuma, and it is an actual av hatuma. The only case that we have with tumas other than a tumas mace and a kli that's in touching a metallic kli, according to most, that's touching the mace. It's the only case where we have something that is a secondary tuma that's going to be metame anyway, adam kalim, as if it itself is the primary tuma. So essentially, the 3 by 3 tvachim is very chomer. Now, the moment that I cut it into two, and it's no longer 3 by 3 tvachim, and it's only 3 by 3 etzbaot, now 3 by 3 etzbaot is enough to be makabel a weak tuma, so it'll be a rishon l'tuma if it touches an avatuma, but it can no longer be saturated with tumas midras, because it's a broken kli vis-a-vis midras. There's no room to sit on something that's only 3 etzbaot by 3 etzbaot. Its use is for patching. Okay, but that's not the point. I can't cover myself with a patch. And therefore, it's not shayach to midras. There we have a machlokas about whether that piece, as it's being cut off, does that piece mekabel the tumah of what was once, when it was whole, tomei midras. So now, is it tomei maga midras, or is it just tahor, unless the zav had actually touched it with a bare foot as he sat on it, as he stood on it, whatever. So that's the question. And the shaila was, how do we explain the shita about the beged in light of the question in our Mishnah where everybody seems to agree that the Uper will definitely be Mekabel Tuma. The only question is what level of Tuma. Does the Shechita make a nipple on the piece that was disconnected and therefore it is Evri Menachai and it's Metame as an Avatuma? Or does the Shechita not make nipple, in which case the Shechita worked for it, and the din of Trefa Shenishchita is that it's only Metame by Kochim, and that only Midrabbana. So Ravina says, let me tell you the difference. The reason that there may be an argument about cutting a piece of 3x3 from a larger piece that's 3x3, the reason for that, Machlokes, is because Bigadim are not meant to be cut. They're not omed for cutting. If you've got a towel, you'd like to keep it as a towel. Why would you cut it up into little pieces? So Beged lav lechatichakoy, and therefore where it's connected, it's considered to be Beit Astarim. It's completely hidden. But this Uber that has this piece attached to it, that is Osur Bachila, because it's Trefa, is definitely meant to be cut up. Who's going to want to keep that piece of Trefas together with its kosher meat? So the Uber is Lechatichakoy. And therefore, what I suggest is that anything that is waiting in line, essentially, to be cut, is for all intents and purposes cut. And therefore, it's not considered to be Beit HaStarim because it's as if it were separate surfaces that were already severed from each other. So Kol HaOmed LaKtoch, suggests Ravina, Kechatuch Tami. It's as if it was already cut. And who does Ravina refer to when he says this Shita that Kol HaOmed LaKtoch? Because I got a funny feeling that Ravina is not helping matters much, because the thing is that both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah agree that some Tuma was conveyed. It was only a question of how much Tuma, right? Rabbi Meir was saying it's considered to be as if it's touching a Nevela, meaning an Evrim and Achai, which is the same as a Nevela. And but the Rabbanan are arguing on Rabbi Meir, they would actually agree, except they say it's not tamei like a touching an avela, it's only tamei like touching a trefa shchuta, which is only metame kachim in Rabbana. But they're all agreed that there is maga, and that's what you were coming to explain. Why over here do they all agree that it's maga? So you're saying, well, over here it's different. We find a machlokas by a beged, but not by an uber. The problem is that it's only Rabbi Meir who holds kolo amid laktok yichatuch tami, and therefore you're not helping anything because you're still making it work out only according to Rabbi Meir. So what did you gain over here? Come on, Rabbi Meir. Because in the mikvos, it says, this is a fascinating mishnah we had together in mikvaot, I'm sure you'll recall, that if you've got a frying pan, and that frying pan has got a very long handle, it was still used at one point for some crazy usage where it needed to be a 10-foot long handle, which your wife objects to when you brought it home for the kitchen, and you're about to cut it off. I mean, you're certainly not going to get away with a 10-foot handle in your kitchen. And it becomes tummy, and you want to put it in the mikveh. So now it says in the Mishnah that kol yadot ha-kelim she'in arukot. If you've got an overlong handle, and atid lekatzitzan, you're going to cut it down to whatever size your wife is demanding. And it became tummy, and you want to put it in the mikveh. You don't have a way to cut it down right now. You could put it in the mikveh only up to the point where you're going to cut it, and then it's tahor. Now, of course, you'll ask the obvious question, but what? How did the water get around the part that was covered? Isn't that a chatzitza? I mean, if we've had a bandage on it, it wouldn't have been a good tefillah in the mikveh, would it? So isn't its own handle a chatzitza as much as a bandage? And if you recall, the way that we learned that Mishnah was the way that Tosfos explains the sugya here. And when it says a long handle, it's referring to a chain type thing in which each piece is movable. So it's chuliot. So therefore, you can be tovel it up to that chulia, and it's no, the rest of the chulias will remain tame, but the water got around all of the movable pieces, and therefore this piece is considered to be completely tar, the part of the pan with the amount of length of its handle that you intend to leave there. So that's all you need to do. Matvil, ad makom midah. The classical case that we had like this in the Mishnah was the case of a bucket on a chain. Remember that case? And the question is how much of the chain has to be put into the mikveh. So over there, clearly the chain can be tovel in the mikveh because you could get each rung into the mikveh. So Tosfos says the other case of the long-handled frying pan is basically constructed in the same fashion. Okay, so if that's the case, it says over there, Divrei Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Yehuda argues and says, which is why it's in parentheses, because the Girsa actually is Rebbe Yehuda, Ad she'atpil et kulo. You'd have to have the whole thing in the mikveh. So that means, who is the man d'omer that says that kola omid lachtoch is as if it's already chatoch? Rebbe Meir. So we're back where we started from. So Ravina is telling me that the reason that in this case it's considered to be tameh by everyone in the Mishnah is because Rebbe Meir, who is the only sheet in the Mishnah that is arguing, he holds that it's considered to be cut off. I mean, it's weird, Ravina. No, says Ravina. I'm going even according to Rebbe Yehuda. Afilu temer abonin. The machlokas Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda is only about handles of frying pans. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about food, because this Uber remembers food stuff. And this is, Gavi, I'm sorry, but you're going to need your magic wand pen. And this is called Chibure Ochlin Kimanda Mifrate Dami. This is a klal that we find in many, many places where things are connected only because they're part of the same piece of food. Food is not considered to be one solid piece. Food is always cut up, it's chewed, it's soft, and therefore it's as if, even though it's mechubar, it's as if they are mifrat into small pieces. So everybody agrees, even though there's a machlokas Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir, when it comes to frying pans, whether they're considered to be a solid piece, even though you're going to be cutting off the handle, that's certainly not the case where you're talking about a piece of food which is meant to be cut, chewed, and is therefore, everybody agrees, is ke'ilu, it's already mifrat. And therefore, in our case, everybody would be modus, said Ravina, that the part of the hand that had been sticking out, being as it's all part of this uber, which is food, they are not beta sedarim, and it's as if they're touching on the surface, and that explains everything. Okay, so we've got two explanations for our Mishnah, and we're missing South Africa over here, which is outrageous. Doc is standing in here for everybody. Akiva's standing in for all the people in the cars. And then we've got Naftali not showing up to follow up his own question from last night, which is outrageous. And we've got Ari making off with Suri, obviously. Yeah, puts up a Calvin picture, and we're supposed to believe it. And anyway, so we don't have Naftali following up on his question, but we finally get, if I were you, Ari, I'd give a call to that AWOL brother of yours. And as Naftali pointed out last night, why did the Mishnah have to say that it was cut off at all? It shouldn't have to be cut off. The point is not that it's cut off. How? That depends on whether you hold of Ravina's answer or you hold of Ula's answer, right? Because if you hold of Ula's answer, what was Ula's answer? That as you're pulling it apart, there's always a touch of the fiber over here, a touch of some tissue that is going to be mavir the tuma, which is the maga at that particular instant. Okay, so according to Ula, it makes sense that the Mishnah insisted that the case that we're talking about was that the hand was sticking out and you shechted it, and then you cut it. Why did you have to cut it? Why was that important? Now we understand. You had to cut it because if you didn't cut it, then we couldn't have talked about any kind of tuna going from the hand to the rest of the piece of meat because it was all beit hasdarim. Ula's explanation was that only in the act of cutting are you exposing the tissue that is going to be matami b'maga. So that, okay, makes sense. But according to Ravina, Ravina is saying you don't need to actually cut it. According to Ravina, the point is that we view it as if it were cut even when it's not cut. Why? Because of the well-known Gavi idea, which is that the chiburei ochlin are kemifrate dami, and therefore there's no problem. And how do you explain, however, according to him, the word in the Mishnah that says chatecha, my chatecha, didn't need to be cut. You're right, it didn't. According to Ravina, it only says chatecha because in the Reisha, it had to be talking about chatecha. That was the whole point. In the Reisha, where you were talking in the first case, that you cut it and then you shechted the mother. So there we were talking about it couldn't be metame because it was cut off. That was the whole point, that by the time that the flesh of the fetus became meat instead of living part of the mother, then it needed to be cut off before. But the second, you're right, the second part of the mission didn't need to say chatecha. We just sort of kept it even. So in the ratio, we say, if you cut it off, before the Shechita, and then safely you say, if you cut it off after the Shechita. It just keeps you parallel, but it certainly wasn't really necessary to talk about cutting off. Now, the next thing was the Shechita of the Rabbanan, and we peeked ahead, so we knew that when the Chachamim say that it's Maga Trefa Shechuta, that the only case of Trefa Shechuta would be a case of Kachim, and it would only be Min Rabbanan, right? But up front, when you read the Mishnah, you sit there scratching your head, Trefa Shechuta? What kind of tomb is on a Trefa Shechuta? I never heard such a thing. I thought the whole point of shechting a Trefa is that you're Metairet Minein Avela, and it remains Torah. The Chachamim Omri Maga Trefa Shechuta. Trefa Shechuta, that's the Gemara. Mi Metamia? There is no such thing. A Trefa animal that was shechted becomes Torah by the act of Shechita. So how would it be Metame? Yes, there is a particular case where it would be metame, and that would be going according to Avu Adishmuel. And Avu Adishmuel was masbir, that trefa that was shechted, when it comes to kachim, if you're dealing with a case of mugdashim, and it turns out to be a trefa, there's a din of tuma derabbanan. That's what it means, that in such a case it would be trefa shchut, that's the max. In other words, the rabbanan are responding to Rabbi Meir. What nevela, what Avram and Achai? I mean, the most you could possibly have would be a case of trefa shchut. That's what they were saying. I mean, obviously that's not the standard thing that would happen. So, continue the Mishnah yesterday. Let's review the Lashon of the Mishnah. So, ma matzino b'treifa sheshchita metaharata. So, their bachlokes, the Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, is that in the same way that shchita is metahar a treifa, so this is the same thing, isn't it? They say to Rabbi Meir, av shchitat behema titaharet, should say titaharet aver ha'ubar, or titaharet ha'aver. Doesn't make sense to say titaharet ha'ubar. It's not what we're talking about, but we understand that's what it means. The piece that was extended outside of the womb is considered to be the equivalent of the trefa in the animal, and the same way that the trefa of the animal, we know, how do we know that we're going to have to see, but we know that the trefa is going to be tam tohar if it was shechted. So this is a case of a trefa that was shechted. So what's the problem? So the shechita of the mother should be metayer, the aver of the uber. To which Rabbi Meir says, absolutely not. The case of the animal itself that was a trefa that was shechted, that's because it is itself, and you shechted that which was trefa. But in this case, you shechted the mother. You didn't shecht the uber. Now, obviously, Rabbi Meir knows that you did shech the uber, right? I mean, he doesn't argue about whether the shechita sa'im is mahanya. So what's he arguing about? So as we explained in the Mishnah, he's arguing about whether, and this was another wave of a magic wand, and whether shechita is osa nipul. And that is, did the act of shechita disconnect halachically the piece that was detached? And perhaps the same thing would be true if there was a piece of the animal itself that was loose and was hanging loose on the animal. and it was dragging a disconnected leg by remaining tissue. We'll see whether it even applies to that case. Does shchita osa nipul be'evorim? Maybe not. But shchita is definitely osa nipul on the aver of the uber, says Rebbe Meir. Ori, how are you going to hear the daf hiding like that? Come back. So, there we go. Now that's better. Now pay attention. So, if this is true, says Rebbe Meir, about the shechita of the animal itself, which is a trefa, how would it be true of something that is really no longer attached to it because shechita is a nipul? That's what he's really saying, even though it doesn't sound like that's what he's saying. But as I tell you, let's peek ahead so at least everything makes sense as we learn it, right? That's what it says in the mission. So, Tanya, in the Braita, we have this discussion and with amplification. Tanya, Amar Amar Rabbi Meir, I don't know what you're talking about. Was it not an Evra Menachai, which is essentially a Nevela? Who made it Tahor? Will you tell me, according to you guys? You're claiming that the Shechita of the mother made it kosher? Well, if you think that the Shechita of the mother made it kosher, so why don't you just go ahead and eat it? I mean, you're saying that the Shechita Sa'im takes off the din of Evra Menachai. Evra Menachai is metame. If it took off the din of Evra Menachai for Tuma, why can't you eat it? To which they said something absurd. And it makes absolutely zero sense. And they say to him, well, you know, Harbe Matzelat al She'eno Gufa Yotermi Gufa. The Shechita is even better on something that's not part of its own body than on something that is part of its own body, which, I mean, you might as well have started talking about physics or something. What the heck does this have to do with anything? And the Gemara, of course, will say something big is missing from this discussion, which we're going to have to reconstruct. But anyway, an animal is more likely for its shechita to be effective on something that is not part of itself than something that is part of itself. Why? Because we had in the Mishnah before that if you cut off a part of the uber and you leave it inside of the womb and you shech the mother, then all of the different pieces are going to be tahar and they're all going to be edible. But if you cut off a piece of the animal's own flesh, let's say you cut out the spleen and you leave the spleen inside and then you shech the animal, the spleen is not going to be edible. So you see that it even works better, shechita, on things that are not part of it. So chotech mina uber shebe'eha, and that part that you cut off and it remained in the womb is mutar ba'achila. But minatchol u'minakloyot, you cut off a piece of spleen, or you cut off a kidney, and then you shech the mother, it's osur b'achila. Can you explain to me what this discussion is about? What the heck? Micah Omar, what is going on here? Omar Rava, or some say Kadi, no, obviously something is seriously missing from this braita because it's just pure nonsense. So here's what it should say. Omar Lahem Rabbi Meir, v'chimiti aruli ever zemidei nevela. Who was making this kosher so that it shouldn't be metame, as you claim? It shouldn't be metame because of Evra Menachai, which we're calling the equivalent of the Tumas Nevela. Remember again, there is a difference between Evra Menachai and Nevela, but not in the level of Tuma, but rather in what is metame, which is why we can get away with calling Evra Menachai Tumas Nevela. And that is, Eiver Menachai is only metame so long as it is an actual Eiver. And an Eiver means that it consists of Basar, Gidim, and Atzomes. And Masha Enke, Nevela, even a Kezias Mina Nevela of pure Basar would be metame. That's the difference. Fine. But anyway, Miti Arola Eiver Zemide Nevela. Can you tell me why you guys claim that this is not Eiver Menachai? Because you're claiming that the shechita applied to it. So that means that you hold, this is really deep down what he's saying, that means that you hold that the shechita did not cause this aver to fall off halachically. It was not osa nipo. So if it was not osa nipo, so then why isn't it materet ba'achila? It's all part of the mother. Amrulo, to which they said, well, I mean, what does one have to do with the other? I mean, basically, any treifa animal remains a treifa, even though you shechted it, but it's not a nevela, and it's metairet from the din of nevela. So why are you conflating the heter of achila with the taira midei nevela? We don't even understand what you're talking about. If it's a treifa and it was shechted, are we not agreed that a treifa that is shechted is not going to be metame? So why is this case metame? Treifa tochiach. Any treifa, the shechita is metairet midei nevela, and it's not materet ba'achila. So what's your problem? Same thing is true over here. This aver is a treifa. We now shechted it, and therefore it should be muter ba'achila. Well, no, indeed, says Rabbi Meir. Absolutely not. Of course I agree that a treifa shchut is not matame, but that's because you shechted the animal itself that's treifa. Imti aroshchitas treifa ota, that's because you shechted it. But over here, you never shechted it, because when you shechted it, it fell off. And it became a permanent aver min achai because shchita is a nipple. Again, this is between the lines what it is that they're really talking about. And therefore, what you're saying is ridiculous. Should it be metayer the aver, which is not part of its body? To which the chachomim say, well, the fact that it's not part of its body is not a reason for it to be less subject to shchita. After all, it's even better when it comes to the uber, which is not part of its body. After all, the shechita of the mother works even better on its things that are not itself, meaning the uber, than it does on its own self. Harbe matzelet al she'eino gufa yoter migufa. Because remember the Mishnah, if you cut off a piece of the uber and you leave it inside of the womb and you shech the mother, then that piece of the uber is completely kosher. And if you cut off a piece of the animal, the tchol or the klayot, and you leave it inside and shecht it, it's asher ba'achila. So what's your argument? And of course, we understand the argument. The point that Rabbi Meir is really making is that according to him, if shechita is osa nipul, there was no shechita on this piece. And therefore, if you're saying the shechita applies to the piece, so then it means that it's still part of the uber. Okay, so then why not eat it? That's the point that he's making. And this approach, which actually Rava figured out all on his own, Omar Rava of Amr Lakedi, I said, you know, it takes a bit of chutzpah to be willing to insert all of these words and say that must have been what it was. Actually, turns out we have a braita that we found, which says word for word what Rava figured out on his own and is precisely what actually took place in this conversation. Tanya Nami Hachi, here's the whole version. Amar lem Rabbi Meir, v'chimi tiaru leiver zemidei nevela, huh? Amru lo, well, shchita sima. Ah, says Rabbi Meir, so im kein tatirenu b'achila? Amru lo, well, that's crazy. Every treifa is tochiach. The shchita of a treifa is metar midei nevela, and it's not materet ba'achila. Oh, of course, says Rabbi Meir, amar lehem. Im tiara shchitas treifa ota. Now here comes another little piece that opens up a Pandora's box. If the shchita works on the animal and on an aver hamidul dalba, now all of a sudden we're talking about something new. Okay, if you've got something that is hanging loose on this animal, so it's still attached, but it's not living and attached, it's just connected by some muscle fibers that haven't been cut yet.
Dangling,
okay, it's dangling. So if it's dangling, so then it is therefore considered to be the same as it. Now, Rabbi Meir just let that slip. That's a very cute throwaway line, but it's a heck of an important throwaway line. I mean, come on. So you're slipping in that when it comes to an aver hamidul dal, that would be actually not osa nipul. That's what Rabbi Meir is saying. When it comes to the aver hamidul dal, then it would be fine. The shchita would be metayer it. Wow. But if it's a part of the Uber and it's not part of itself, then it will not. Why? Because itself, or the Eva Medul Dalba, is a Dova Shebegufa. Ma She'en Kein, should it be Metaheret HaUbar? She'eno Gufa? Would it actually work even on something that's not part of it? Because Shchita Osa Nipul, it means now we're going to have to explain, why is Shchita Osa Nipul on the Aver of the Uber, and Shchita is not Osa Nipul on the Aver HaMeduldal? That doesn't make any sense. If your Shchita is Osa Nipul, then it should be the final death blow to this Aver HaMeduldal as well, shouldn't it? Okay, that is obviously what we're going to have to contend with now. But anyway, Rabbi Meir opened himself up to attack on this thing, so we'll have to figure out what it means. But anyway, it makes sense, says Rabbi Meir, that it would be only for its own body, for to which the Chachomim said, no, on the contrary. And this is exactly the explanation that Rava put in to the Braita, and over here it spells it out word for word. So now we've got an understanding, but only because we peeked ahead, about the conversation between the Chachomim and Rabbi Meir. And now we've got something that is disturbing, because we just heard Rabbi Meir say that an Eva HaMeduldal is going to be properly affected by the Shechita, and the Shechita would be Metayer and Eva HaMeduldal. But that seems to be a contradiction to Rabbi Meir's own approach of Shechita Osa Nipul. So why would it work, the Shechita, on an Eva HaMeduldal, and not work on an actual Eva of the Uber? This is the question. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, it isn't different. It's exactly the same. The machlokas that the Chachomim had with Rabbi Meir applies precisely the same to the ubarim pieces that were sticking out as they do to evarim that were meduldalim. Kach machloket be'evarim. And in fact, Rabbi Meir does not hold that Shechita is going to help an Avraham meduldal. Why? Because Shechita is also Nipul. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what do you mean? Take a look at what he said. The only machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim was about an Aver of an Uber. But an Aver of a Behema, everybody agreed that Divrei HaKol Shechita Osa Nipul, which doesn't make sense at all, because actually Rabbi Meir said an Aver HaMeduldal would be Tohar. So how can you say everybody agrees that Shechita is Osa Nipul? This statement of Rabbi Yochanan makes no sense at all. But what is it based on? Well, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina. I'll tell you why Rabbi Yochanan explains, according to the Rabbanan, that they would agree that Shechita is Osa Nipul when it comes to an Eva HaMeduldal, but they would not hold that Shechita is Osa Nipul when it comes to the Aver HaUber. Does that make sense? It does, but it only makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan's own Shita. Now, the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan that he's about to quote is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan that we showed was wrong. Remember, we said, Tiyufta du'ulam Rabbi Yochanan Tiyufta. And that, in fact, remember the opening mission of the Perek, where it says that if the Uber was Hotzi as Yodo v'Yichzira, that it's Mutter. So we had a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan originally about whether that mutter means the Aver is mutter or it means only the Uber is mutter, right? Remember. Oh, I hope you remember. This whole perek is deeply interrelated. If you chop off just this one piece, then it becomes Aver Menachai, and then the whole thing falls apart. Might even be Metame the rest. So according to Rabbi Yochanan originally, if you pull the hand back into the womb and check the mother, it's not a trefa, remember? And that is his basis. Because I eat le takanta bechazora, the case of the Aver of the Uber, l'shitati, you could pull back into the womb and it would be kosher. But the dangling aver will never be kosher. And hi, let takanta bechazora. Now, we know that that sheet of Rabbi Yochanan actually ended up being tiyuftad. And what's worse is what he's saying doesn't even make sense locally here, because actually that's not what the Rabbanan said here. So what's going on? So this last piece makes no sense. Ask the Gemara. We just had a brighter. What's this Rabbi Yochanan over here? Omar lehem Rabbi Meir. The brighter said. Rabbi Meir said to the Chachamim, no, listen, if Shechita works on it, or on, and here were those essential words that he just threw in, which was actually throwing a monkey wrench into everything, the Eta Eva HaMidul Dalba, if Shechita works for a dangling Aver, that's only because it's a Dover Shebegufa. Does that mean that you should logically conclude that the Shechita should be Metaher and Uber, where the Aver of the Uber was no longer a part of the Uber, where it's a Dover She'eno Gufa? Over there, Shechita would be Yosef Nipo. Now, let's try to analyze that according to Rabbi Yochanan, because it doesn't make one word of sense, my dear friend. I mean, it doesn't make sense according to Reish Lakish either, you know, because over here, Rabbi Meir is saying, well, if it's Matayer and Aver, Amidul Dalba, but since when does Rabbi Meir hold that it would be Matayer and Aver, Amidul Dalba? What happened to Shechita Yosef Nipo? And if Shechita is Osen Nipul, it would be Osen Nipul on a dangling Aver as well, right? Aha. But I can explain that, you see. I can explain it by saying that Reish Lakish understands Rabbi Meir as talking to the Rabbanan. And he's saying, look, according to me, Shechita is Osen Nipul, and it's not going to be able to do anything for any of these cases. You guys who claim that Shechita is not Osen Nipul, look, that might work for an Aver HaMidul Dal. That's what he says. According to you, Aver HaMidul Dal, Shechita would not be Osen Nipul. But that's because the Shechita is on something that's all one piece. It's the same animal that I'm shechting. But why would you say that Shechita is not Osen Nipul? I hold it's never Osen, but why would you say it on this case? So, in Achinami, Rabbi Meir was not saying what he holds. He was saying what the Rabbanan hold. So, even if you want to tell me that an Aver that is Medudal of the animal itself, the Shechita will help, that does not logically conclude that the Shechita of an Aver of an Uber will help, to which the Rabbanan answered, no, on the contrary. It works even better if it's not Gufa, right? Understood the whole conversation now in the context of the difference between the Aver HaMidul Dal on it and the Aver of the Uber that was stuck out, which is the equivalent situation. So according to Bishlam al Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Meir would be talking to the Rabbanan. And he would be saying, listen, Ledivrayim Kama, look, Ledidi, my own personal opinion is that the whole thing is ridiculous. I hold the Shechita is Osen Nipul, and if there's an Aver HaMidul Dal, so then the din is that it is not going to be Tahar, it's going to be permanently an Aver Midachai, it's going to be Metame like an Avela, and so on. That's my personal opinion. So Lididi, I myself hold Loshna Aver de Uber, Loshna Aver de Behema. It's exactly the same. Ki adadi ninu. It is not Tahar because of the Shechita, because this Shechita was Osen Nipul. But you guys who claim, fine, I can understand. You hold Shechita is not Osen Nipul, and therefore it would be Matayer, the animal itself, if it has a piece that's dangling. But, I mean, why would it be Matayer a piece of the fetus? That I don't understand. So that works out according to Reish Lakish. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes no sense at all. Rabbi Yochanan is claiming that everybody is made that in a case of an Aver HaMidul Dal, that Shechita is Osen Nipul. So who's he talking to? How can he say such a thing in light of this Braita? He must never have heard this Braita. This Braita says, Beferish, somebody's got a hold that Shechita is not Osen Nipul on an Aver HaMidul Dal because Rabbi Meir is telling you that, I mean, even if he's talking to them, it means at least they have to hold that Shechita would be Matayer the Aver HaMidul Dal. Okay. We misquoted. We obviously misquoted. That was not what Rabbi Meir said. I'll tell you what must have been like this. The machlokas between Reish Lakish's interpretation of the relationship between Eivor of the Behem itself, Hamedudah, and the Eivor of an Uber, the machlokas goes like this. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, I hold that the same machlokas that we have about the Ubarim is exactly what they argue about of the Eivorim. There's no difference between an Eivor Hamedudah and between a piece of an Uber that was sticking out. The Chachamim hold Shchita is Enos and Ibu, and therefore it prevents Tumas Nevelas, and it's not going to be an Eivor Minachai. And Rabbi Meir holds, no, it actually knocks it off and leaves it as a permanent Eivor Minachai. Both cases. That's what Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, their machlokas was only on the Eivor of the Uber. Over there, Rabbi Meir says that Shchita zos nipul and it cannot be metayer. But when it comes to the Eivor of the Behema, there, everybody, even including Rabbi Meir, everybody agrees that ein Shchita osa nipul, and it would be Betayer the Eivor HaMedudah, and that would explain why it was that Rabbi Meir was telling the Chachamim that, look, if it's Betayer and Eivor HaMedudah, that's actually true. He holds that it is Betayer and Eivor HaMedudah. And in this version, what was the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan Shita that Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina had explained? Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina, let me explain why Rabbi Yochanan says that. Aliba to Rabbi Meir. Why would Rabbi Meir say that Shchita, when it comes to the actual animal itself, is not Osa Nipo, and it would be Mitaher an Eiver Meduldal? And yet, when it comes to the Uber is not going to be having its foot or leg that it stuck out being tar. The difference is obvious. As he exactly explained himself, hai gufa, v'hai lav gufa. One of them is part of itself. So on that, the shchita is not osa nipul. But we don't have a basis to say that the shchita of an aim will help something that was already outside of the aim. That was Rabbi Meir's shchita. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, let's put it into its actual formulation that they're talking about between the lines, instead of keeping all of this hidden only for participants of the Daf Yomi, okay? So here's the actual down and dirty facts. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody agrees that mita osa nipul. If an animal dies, then that actually separates out a piece that was hanging loose. And the death of the animal, the death of the mother, that is osa nipul. And everybody agrees that shchita does not osa nipul. Now, this doesn't make any sense. We're about to try to explain what we are actually referring to. But maya askina, when you say everybody agrees, in what case? Are we talking about an eivor of an uber? How can you say that they all agree? That's the machlokas in the Mishnah, my dear friend. Miflek plige. The machlokas is that according to Rabbi Meir, the question is whether the shchitas ha'aim separated out that hand and left it as an eivor minachai permanently. So I don't understand what you're saying. It's obviously wrong what you're saying. You can't be talking about that case. So you must be talking about everybody is meida about an eivor of the behema. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that actually Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim agree, which is, of course, Rabbi Yochanan Shita that we just said, that Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are only arguing about the eivor of the uber. But when it comes to the eivor HaMedudah, even Rabbi Meir was beta that ein shchita is a nipul, and because of that, it's tahar. And if the animal dies itself, not through shchita, then we view the chelek that was hanging loose as not an avela, but as an eivor minachai. Because if it would have been part of the animal and died, it would have been an avela, right? Well, it's not an avela. Why not? The whole animal died, yes, but death separates. The final blow separates the Abram and Achai from the animal, and therefore the rest, this is sort of the inverse of the other case. The rest of the animal is betame, is an actual nevela, even if it doesn't have basar gidim va'atzamot. And the part that was sticking out is less chamor, because it's only tame as an Abram and Achai, because mita is osa nipol, and it's not part of the animal to become an avela. Okay. I mean, you're calling this the down and dirty? How is this a down and dirty? I don't even need you to tell me this. These two dinim are beferish and mishnayas. So what are we talking about over here? The din that mita is osa nipol, and that if you have an avera miduldal, that it's not going to be metami as an avela, and it will only be metami as an Avram and Achai as a Beferish Mishnah. I've got news for you. And the fact that Shechita is actually going to be Metaher and is not Osanipol is also a Beferish Mishnah. So I have no idea what Rabbi Yochanan thinks he's telling us, these big Chidushim. There's no big Chidushim here. Let me show you the Mishnah and the submission we have later on. Mita appears in the Mishnah later. So it says over there, in a case where you have a behema that has an aver that is hanging loose, it's been in a really serious battle, right? So another animal bit it, and it has a piece of muscle hanging loose, but it doesn't have in that muscle gidim v'atzameis. So it has a piece of meat hanging loose, essentially. And it also has a leg hanging loose. So the case over there was that you have both a basar menachai and both an aver menachai that are loosely connected to the animal, which then dies of its wounds. Umeta behema. So that would mean that the basar, actually, if it's going to be makabel tuma, it needs hechsher, like anything else. Because, I mean, obviously, it's not kosher, but it's not metame. And the only way it's going to be metame is if it's makabel tuma from something else. But in order to be makabel tuma from something else, as we know, it needs hechsher. So this piece of meat will require hechsher. Masha enkin, the part that was basar gidim v'atzameis, is going to be metame as an Avram and Achai, which is metame on its own. It doesn't need to be makabel tuma from anything else. So this clarifies to us the difference between nevela, basar menachai, and Avram menachai. So if we're talking about something that was loose on the animal and then died, says Beferish in this Mishnah, the meat is not basar nevela. And the aver is only mitame mishum aver min achai, and not mishum nevela. Ve'eno mitame mishum aver min hanevela. This is true according to Rabbi Meir too. And nobody argues with him about this point. Now, that would mean very clearly that if the animal died not through shechita, that moment of death separates any dangling pieces or avarim and makes them not nevela, and actually becomes a kula, because the aver is metame, but only as aver menachai, and the basar is not metame at all, because basar menachai is not metame. Listen, guys, I know there's an awful lot of halachas here that are being taken for granted. I've explained every single one of them a number of times, and it should not be confusing anymore, but it does require concentration. So once all of the bases are clear, then all of this makes perfectly good sense. So that means that the Mishnah is saying that not a case of shechita, but a case of misa is osa nipo. And that nipo allows these dangling pieces of the animal not to be viewed as part of an avela. They fell off, technically, before, even though I still see them attached, that doesn't matter. The nipple is a halachic detachment, so that the moment of death turns an aver into an aver min achai instead of an aver min anavela, and the Butzer into Butzer Ben Achai instead of a Butzer Ben Anevela. Neither of them are Metame Mishum Nevela. The Butzer isn't Metame at all because Butzer Ben Achai is not Metame. And the Aver Ben Achai, if you pull it apart and you take off the meat, let's say, or you take out the bones, they're not Metame. They're only Metame as long as they're together as Butzer Gidim Vatsomas, as we're going to be seeing more of later. So therefore, I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me that mita is osa nipul. This is Beferish Mishnah later on, okay? Now, he says, okay, but I need to know that shchita is not osa nipul. No, I don't. The same Mishnah says that shchita actually does not osa nipul. Take a look. Continues that same Mishnah. Nishchita bema. However, if that same animal that had the hanging piece of muscle and a hanging leg, in that case, it was nishchata. Oh, then you know what? The basar became roi lekabel tuma because it already had hechsher. Hechsher? What do you mean? It's a dead Avram and Achai, isn't it? No, actually, it's tar. Tar? How could it be tar? Because it was shechted. And it's part of its body. And even Rabbi Meir agreed that shchita doesn't osa nipul on part of the body itself, and therefore it needs heksher. How did it have heksher? It had heksher because of the blood of the animal that was shechted, was makshir. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, he holds it wasn't heksher. You need to be makshir. That blood was not makshir, the whole animal. Okay, fine. That's a side point. But they're all agreed that you need heksher. Now, how could you need heksher if this thing is an Avram and Achai and the shchita was osa nipul? It would be metame. Therefore, it's clear that shchita does not create nipul, and instead the shchita is metaher. So it's a beferish mishnah. Can you tell me, please, what Rabbi Yochanan thinks he's teaching us here? I know how to read a Mishnah, for God's sake. What is this? Ah, if I didn't know Rabbi Yochanan, I would have misunderstood this last piece of the Mishnah. I would have said that when it says, Hukshiru b'dameha, that was referring only to the meat, not to the aver. In other words, I would have said that actually, shchita is osa nipul. But what's the din of a piece of meat that is osa nipul from a living animal? It's not metame. Only the aver is metame. But the meat isn't tame, and therefore it says you need heksher to make the meat tame because it's like foodstuffs. Not kosher foodstuffs, but who cares? If it's going to be mekabel tuma, as basar min achai, then it needed to be exposed to liquid. Fine, that's true. And that would mean shchita was osa nipul. The aver is indeed an aver min achai, but the basar is only basar min achai because shchita was osa nipul. And basar min achai requires heksher. So now that we have the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, is the blood of the shchita heksher on this piece of meat or not? That's a side point. But as far as whether shchita is osa nipul, I would have said that actually shchita is osa nipul. How do you like that? Therefore, I need Rabbi Yochanan to say, no, the reason that over here you need heksher is not only on the meat, it's even on the aver you need heksher, because this is not aver min hachai. This is actually part of the animal because shchita was not osa nipul. That's what I would have thought. No, I would not have thought that. How stupid do you think I am? I know how to read. It doesn't say it was hukshar. It says they were hukshar. You know how to read? Hukshiru. They. Who are the they? The they are the Aver min Achai and the Basar min Achai. Well, Aver min Achai doesn't need hukshar unless it's not Aver min Achai, which would mean that the shchita was metayaret and that shchita is not osa nipul. So how would I have made that mistake? Why do I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me, don't make the mistake of thinking it's only a reference over here to the basar. It's clearly, it means both. Of course it means both. It says, Loshen Rabin, Hulk Sheru. So I still want to know, what do I need Rabbi Yochanan for? No, I'll tell you why I need Rabbi Yochanan. If it wouldn't have been Rabbi Yochanan, I would have thought that Hukshiru meant both Basar, meaning whether I'm talking about the Basar that came directly from the animal, the Basar Menachai, it requires action, or whether I cut off a piece of Basar from the Eiver Menachai, it requires action. That's the Lashon Rabbim. But the Aver itself, as long as it's still an Aver, of course, it was actually Tameh because the Shechita was Osa Nipal. I don't understand. Why would I need it? It's a bigger Kiddush one than the other. The Aver that had a piece of meat that I detached now and made it a piece of meat instead of a piece of Aver Menachai. And the Basar that was hanging loose from the animal. Why is one more in need of Hekshir than the other? Then I should have to explain that, yes, Hukshiru, both of them need Hekshir. Isn't that obvious? My Ulmei Dahamehai. Why would one need Hekshir more than the other? Oh, there's a very good reason for why one would need more than the other. Remember that we had a concept called Sof, and there should be a Gavi here hidden somewhere who would be able to tell us this Gavi rule, and that is something which is Sofo Letame Tuma Chamura, something that is going to be Metame Tuma Chamura, such as our classic case of Nivlat of Tahor. So if it's Sofo Letame Tuma Chamura, it does not require Hechsher in order to be Mekabel Tumas Ochmen. The same kind of idea, it's not the same idea, but the same kind of idea would have led me to think that since initially this was started off by being Metame Tuma Chamura, because this piece of meat was part of an Eiver Menachai, and therefore it was Metame as part of an Eiver Menachai. Now that I detach it, so it still is not going to need Hechsher. That's crazy. It itself was able to be Metame as part of the Eiver Menachai. So now that it's detached, it should at least be able to be Mekabel Tuma from somewhere else without Hechsher. So Hol Metame Tuma Chamura Agav Aviv. Since it was initially, when it was part of its father, so to speak, the father being the Eiver as a whole. So when it was part of the father, it was Metame, so maybe at least it shouldn't need Hechsher. And if it touches something else, it'd be Mekabel Tuma without Hechsher. Kamashmalan. Therefore, I would have thought that's what Rabbi Meir is coming to tell me. And you, both of them, whether it's the Basar that was hanging loose on the animal or the Basar that was subsequently detached from the Eiver Menachai, both of them need Hechsher. And that was the Chiddush. But still, I wouldn't have known that the idea was that the Aver requires Hechsher. I would say the Aver doesn't need Hechsher because Shechita is Osa Nipal. That's why Rabbi Yochanan comes to tell us it's not true. Shechita is not Osa Nipal. Only Misa is Osa Nipal. And if Misa is Osa Nipal, it's a Kula because it means that the Aver remains an Aver Minachai instead of an Aver Minanevela. And the Basar remains Tahar as Basar Menachai instead of Basar Menanevela. All beautifully wrapped up then with this Maimra. I'm not going to keep you any longer. It's terrible. I've kept you way too long. And we just will have to really wrap up tomorrow, which is good because it gives us an opportunity to briefly review these things. And hopefully, if Ari gets his AWOL brother there, and we'll be able to smash him over the head. Okay, so we're all right then for the day.
Just the word nevela itself also means falling. The pasuk says kinvola lemi gefin v'chnevela mete'ina, so it's deeper related in the verb, in the word itself.
Okay, very nice indeed, excellent. Okay, so the basra midudal, it's not so maybe not so nice, but remember that a dildo is midudal. In the same way, which is why it's actually called dildo, as a detached, but Eiver Midildal.
Rebbe's going out on the limb.
Very good. Okay, we got it, Rav Osai. Wonderful.